Well, I was going to... there it is. Going to pop a beer, but it sounds like our intro band has had one too many or somebody was kicking around the turntable there. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the Thursday night edition of Kayak Fishing Radio. I'm Greg Becker, a.k.a. Big Fly Reel, in the chat room and in the studio this evening running the board for our roving host instead of a roving reporter. Chip is on his way down to a little gig this weekend called the Adventure Fishing World Championship, sponsored by Native Watercraft down in the Everglades. And we'll bring him in now. Chip, how's the road?
It's packed, as it usually is, anywhere near Atlanta. When you're about within 60 to 100 miles of Atlanta, it's just nothing but taillights and headlights. So, but it's a little wind, but it's not my fault, Bill. I'm not in Florida yet.
Well, you're on your way, so.
I'm on my way, so it's like, I'm pushing it.
Yep, you're bringing it with you.
And it could be, because we've decided that we're going to, because the clone is, I think he still is, or at least the last time I looked, he was the only minor that was fishing the tournament. So I decided that in the best interest of safety, that we would fish out of the same boat. So we have our 16-foot.
Safety
first.
You
got me, man. You got me, right? Yeah. So we got 16-foot square stern canoe. We did some modifications to it. Added some afterburners and stuff like that, rocket launchers. I think we're good to go, and I don't have to worry about him getting swept away by the tide down there. And if we get rigging issues and stuff like that, we don't have to stop fishing. We're just in the same boat together. So I thought it would be the best game plan at least to get started. So.
Do you have any concerns about that 14 inches of freeboard and the wind they're talking about?
Actually, this canoe does. It has about the same as if we were in the Ultimate, so not too much. But and then we can actually, you know, we can sit down in the bottom of the canoe. We don't have to sit up on the seat and stuff. Actually, I took the seats out of the front in the middle, and we have a Native first class seat up in the front of the boat, so. We can adjust it for height and stuff like that. And, but, yeah, I looked at the wind finder was, what, calling about 15 knots, blowing us out with the tide. And then when the tide starts to push us back in, hopefully it's strong enough because of the moon that we don't have to paddle as hard against 15 knots in the face coming home.
Yeah, that'll just keep your sweat dried off.
Yeah, exactly. And actually, I think the highs for Saturday is only looking about 65, right?
Yeah, about that down there. They're talking a little bit less up here. Let's just take a minute and recognize who's on the phone. Is everybody, for anybody who doesn't recognize the voice in Buzzards Row here with us, is Bill Howard. So thanks for being here with us tonight, Bill.
In the chat room,
we've got Cap D Fish and the just recent birthday boy, Scuba Stan, who is a spry 27 years old. And looks every bit of it, so good to have him there. For the guests in the chat room, you can see the chat room as a guest, but if you'd like to post in the chat room, you can log in using your Facebook account or any of your social media accounts, or create a quick account on Blog Talk Radio, and you can join in the fun in the chat room. Chip, you want to talk for a minute about where it is you're headed and what you're going there to do? Not everybody may know what's going on.
Well, yeah, we actually, Woody Calloway, and I'm sorry I don't know John's last name, but they were talking about, they were down doing some filming for Native Watercraft with Rich Jones and some of the other Native endorsed guides. And the Everglades, you know, a year ago we did Chuckaloski for one of our boondoggles, and it's just beautiful down there, and the fishing is pretty awesome. And Woody's one of those guys that likes to think outside the box, and they were just chatting, talking over probably a PBR or some other adult beverage. And came up with this idea for sort of a fishing tournament with a twist, a kind of a survival type navigation skills kind of twist, and it became it's rolling out as the Adventure Fishing World Championship. It's in we're down in Everglades City, which is on the southwest corner of Florida. It's about as far south as you can go unless you're going down through the Keys. But we're going to launch out of there Saturday morning.
Hello. Chef, we are.
We're going to launch Saturday morning. Got a captain's meeting tomorrow night down there at Everglades City. But Saturday morning, you'll get a map, and it's got, I think, 5 checkpoints on it. And you'll have to locate a checkpoint and receive a token before you're allowed to fish. Once you find a checkpoint, you get a token, then you're going after 3 target species, redfish, snook, and trout. And you'll try to catch that in that area, but you got to watch your time and your tides because you got to find 3 out of the 5 checkpoints to be able to turn in your pictures and qualify for a prize. So it's kind of interesting, and if you've not fished that area, the mangrove islands and stuff, it's not just open water down there. There's a lot of tactics that you're going to have to do. There's navigational skills that you're going to have to display. You could be on one side of a mangrove that the checkpoint is, and you will never know that the person is on the other side. So they're all manned checkpoints, but you might waste a lot of time having to drive around or paddle around to the other side. It's 2-man teams. Like I said earlier, we're going to be fishing out of the same boat, me and the clone, but most everyone else, I don't think anybody else is planning on tandeming, but they're going to be fishing out of individual kayaks. It's not a requirement to be in a native kayak, which I think is kind of a cool idea that, you can bring float what you got, right? But you got to stay in sight of your teammate. You got to fish with your teammate. You got to be back at the launch by 1700 or 5 o'clock for civilian types to be able to show that you've achieved at least 3 of the 5 checkpoints and get your catch scored for points. So it sounds interesting. It sounds like a lot of fun. I think most of us are going down just to be a part of a new concept and have a good time doing it. We have 4 kayak fishing radio teams that are participating, myself and the clone. We've got Redfish Chuck and Pepe Vidal there. We've got Rob DeVore and Irish Gene in another one. And then we have the Loziers. They'll be fishing as a team also. So we're pretty well presented as far as kayak fishing radio goes, and we just want to support the idea. It's not a typical tournament. I'm not a tournament guy, but this sounds like a lot of fun. So, all right, I'm going to shut up for a minute.
Oh, and Chris pointed out that I scrolled off the screen. Now, John's last name is Grace from
John Grace.
From Native. So also joining us in the chat room, Didi Olson, Hammerhead, Greg Crisp up in the North Country, and hopefully it's coming to the point where the snowdrops are going to come out and it's going to start thawing out for him a little bit. Tommy Head Jigs and one of our Tuesday night hosts, VB Javacek. Chris is also in the chat room, so thanks all for dropping in.
Well, they should be, Chris and them, we're going to be meeting them tomorrow, so they should be getting about ready to launch sometime for the south. So
yep, she said Mark is sleeping now and he's driving first shift. They should be leaving about 11 from up in Virginia, so they should be headed out.
They're the straight through folks. Well, as being the Java chick, she just fires up with some coffee and gets it rolling, right?
Gets a little wired and heads out.
Yeah, 5-hour energy and coffee, I'm good.
There you go. Hey, Bill, you've spent a lot of time or a fair amount of time fishing down in the Chokoloskee area. What are some of the things that these folks are going to be contending with aside from the tides? What are they going to be looking at and looking for when they're fishing down there?
Well, the biggest thing is with looking at the weather forecast, the winds will, they will channel into those mangrove channels. And, you could end up with the wind in your face all day almost. I mean, it's pretty, can be pretty wicked. And then with the tide, if you're paddling against the wind and the tide, you're in for a long day. But I like to think of Chokoloski is the Indian word for oyster bars. They are everywhere. If you look at the Chokoloski Bay area, the little bay, and it just looks like, open water. But there's hidden oyster bars all over that thing. So that's one of the things I had good success with when fishing down there is on the outgoing tides, the fish will get trapped or pinned up on some of those oyster beds. The bait will, and the snook will just hammer them. On the outside, when I say inside, outside, I mean inside would be, the Chokoloski Bay, part of the mainland part, the Turner River. The outside will be once you get past all the islands and you're out to the, reaches of the Gulf. I've seen real good schools of redfish out there before. Trout seem to be everywhere. If you can find a channel that has good water flowing through it and there's, oyster bar or, a small mangrove island through there, those are great places for trout. They love those hangouts. The snook, snook, it's funny because, they're real lazy, like everything in the water. They just are waiting for something to come to them. I like to cast to the shadows down there because those are different types of mangroves. If I'm correct, they're the black mangroves, which really, they're all growing on oyster beds anyway. They can't really get way too far up in them like they do up here. But they will hang out on those edges, and if there's a shadow, there's going to be one sitting in that shadow because it gives them the best cover. So it's a different place. It's like anything else. You just got to spend some time there and kind of learn the patterns of the fish down there.
Well, I know that when I went down for the boondoggle last year down there, and unfortunately your and my trip together seemed to be cursed from the start. But when I got down there, it took a lot of the advice and the experience you'd had down there and did pretty well fishing the oyster bars and especially, figuring out the moving current on the oyster bars, the points hold fish.
Yeah.
A lot of those transitions and the snook
points.
We found seemed to, gotta love the points. The snook we found seemed to hold kind of in the deeper water near the mangroves rather than the mm-hmm. more shallow, or at least the ones that that we found down there, that I found down there last year on the incoming and outgoing tides. So,
I've been fishing down there for quite a few years now, and I'm really kind of been disappointed in the snook down there. But if you get away from Chokoloski, if you have a boat and can get away from Choco and go a little further south, some of those places, the snook are just ridiculous. But
yeah, in all fairness, the ones I did find last year were more in the snooklet category than they were in the grown-ups. But,
you got to remember, too, that we had just gotten over a big, big, big kill. And Chokoloski was that freeze that we had. Chokoloski was an area that was hit really, really hard. So that might have had a little bit to do with how you guys did.
But they are certainly coming back in Florida's South here, and that is great to see. And if you don't believe it, take a swing over to yakangler.com and take a look around for some. Bill, is that article up yet, or is it?
No, it's not up yet.
There'll be an article coming shortly. take 2 seconds, and a couple other folks in the chat room, actually just one other folks and a guest has been in and out, Arlie48, welcome to the chat room. Thanks for joining us tonight. Chip, Chris wants to know how long your drive is. I know you're splitting it up tonight, but what do you figure your overall ETE is?
Yeah, total is about 10 hours.
That's not awful.
We'll just shoot. Huh?
That's not awful.
No, it's not. Well, I mean, we're coming out of Atlanta, and we're just on 75. That's probably the part about it. It's just, you know, 480 miles of I-75. So it's pretty boring, really. But in the clone, you know, he's such a conversationalist. He just sits there. I told him next year it's going to be great because he'll have his permit. Of course, he won't be able to drive at night, but we'll leave during the day so he can drive, and I can sit over there and play video games and stuff. But it's about 10 hours. We're gonna do 5 tonight. We'll probably pull into around the Gainesville area, grab a hotel room, and then we'll finish it up. So we'll be there tomorrow, probably midday. Just check-in time's about 3. I think we're staying at the Glades Haven cabins there where the actual launch site for the tournament is. So I did have a question for you, Bill. What's good colors, man, for what do you find it? I mean, on Tuesday night for the Losers, for the Double L crew, Rich Jones was on, and he's he's kind of a local guy down there, and he was saying that that the water's pretty muddy right now. That the south wind from the earlier in the week just churned everything up. So,
every year that I've been there, the water's always muddy. Right around Sokolosky, you have at least two rivers off the top of my head that dump water in there, and it's always muddy. As you go further out, it clears out. Pearl white's always been a good color for me. For some reason, pink is real popular and done good. If you're fishing in that muddy water like that, I would throw one of those redfish spinner baits. Slayer makes a good spinnerbait. Anything that has some vibration and flash, that would be good. And as you go out and that water clears up, you know, the pearl. I've always gone by a rule of thumb. Pearl white has always worked for snook. As long as you can keep it moving and don't stop, snook seem to like the pearl white color. And then for everything else, I always go by match to hatch. If I'm fishing over dark grass, I'll use a dark color because that's the way the bait is colored. It blends in
right.
With the dark grass, so they have a darker color. If you're fishing, in the beach or on the beach, then the bait tends to be more silver and a lot clearer, so it blends in with the sand. So, but in that stained water, and I've used them down there before, they work pretty good. Is, you know, something that gives off some vibration.
Right.
Sorry.
No worries. Yeah, that's about the same advice. I mean, they asked about some, like, hard baits and stuff, and Rich is pretty much a soft bait kind of guy with the exception of topwaters, and then, you know, the old standby of a Spook Junior in a bone color or something like that was just kind of pretty much go-to bait. So I think that's, as far as topwater goes, that's pretty much everybody's confidence bait there. So
yeah, and rig your soft plastics, weedless. Lots of oysters, lots and lots and lots of oysters. If you're fishing a bare jig with an exposed hook, be prepared to lose a lot of them.
That's a good point. And also, Rich said that be because of the stained water, and he didn't say that he used fluorocarbon for a liter too much, but he said if you were going to do a liter, to go with like a 40-pound liter because of the oysters and stuff, because the abrasion.
Yeah, and if you're in that, which a lot of that's going to be, you know, a lot of that water you're going to fish is going to be stained. I just go with a 40-pound mono and use that for leader. That's going to be fine. Same thing I'll use up at Cedar Key. I won't use a fluorocarbon up there. You just don't need it. The water's that dirty that you don't really need it.
Hey guys, good time for a quick break and to bring somebody else on, another one of our Kayak Fishing Radio hosts, and somebody who I also believe is headed down in your direction shortly, Redfish Chuck. That was your cue.
Oh, yo, what's up?
Like the true radio professionals we are.
Exactly. Yes, Chuck.
Yo.
Are you driving, man, or are you already there?
No, we're riding. I'm not driving. And we had a, if you guys aren't keeping up with Facebook, we had a little technical malfunction with two tires on our trailer. Therefore, we had to stop, and we've been a little bit delayed, but we're back on the road and getting after it.
After that. So are you, you and Peppy, you got another, any more in your crew there?
Yeah. It's me, Peppy, Alan, and Captain Alex. We're all piled into Peppy's truck.
That's a
formidable team right there.
Yeah, we're excited, man. Can't wait to get over there and get be kind of settled in for the evening, and then wake up tomorrow and go do a little bit of fun fishing and hang out and, you know, whatever.
I have to ask, did Alex remember his sunglasses?
Did you remember your sunglasses? Chip Gibson once. No. Everybody said, heck yeah.
The first time I met Alex, he was pulling out there on the flats at Cars with his son, and he had a hat pulled down real tight over his head because he had lost his sunglasses, or he'd forgotten them or something like that. So.
Yeah, in fact, Alex was the lucky winner of the RCI optics glasses at the Boondoggle, too, so he's got those as well.
Well, ain't it funny how that works?
Well,
good deal.
Well, cool, man. You going to give away any secrets there, Chuck?
Secrets?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't have any secrets, man. I'm just going to do the same thing we did last February when we were down here, and hopefully it'll work as well as it did then. So, you know, I mean,
just have fun.
Yep, just have fun and try and put a couple of holes in fishes' faces and see what Peppy and I can't do. And, you know, I think at the end of the day, like everyone seems to be saying, it's going to be a great experience and something that we can look back on and say, you know, we did it. It was awesome. It was fun. And, you know, if we are so fortunate enough to be the ones who win Slayer boat each, then so be it. If not, no big deal. It's going to be it's a good time had by all, like the Boondoggle second coming.
What boat did you decide to fish out of, Chuck?
I am in a Yellow Jacket Cuda 14 with a rudder kit.
Which I think you'll enjoy having in that wind.
What's that?
I said, which I think you'll enjoy having in that wind.
Yes. I figured with the tide, with the wind, with everything else, I think the rudder was probably a smart way to go, leaving the big tuna at home, which would have been a barge. But, you know, and I also brought drift sock, which I think that was a good idea, and bought a couple extra paddles just in case, and got a lot of extra stuff for this particular trip, so we'll definitely be pretty well prepared. I stopped by Richard's store there at Harry Goods to get some last minute provisions as far as baits and some lures and whatnot that I want to try and throw, and some scent bait, some scent products from BioEdge, and you know, see what happens.
Good deal.
What boat is Peppy? Is Peppy in his barge?
Yeah. Peppy's in his Diablo.
cool.
Yeah, Pepe's in the Diablo. Captain Alex is in, I think, a Stealth 12. And Alan's in a Black Widow CUDA 14.
All right. Well, we'll see you guys down there probably after lunch tomorrow. So.
Cool. Sounds good. Yeah, this drive has been rather interesting thus far, and I'm taking it that this is part of the adventure for the Adventure Fishing World Championship. I'm pretty sure there was a guy hiding in the bushes with a blow dart that took out two tires on our trailer within about 5 minutes of each other. So, you know, $170 later at Walmart, we're back on the road. So,
holy cow. The life and times of kayak anglers, man. It's fun.
Yeah, it's fun.
If this stuff was easy, everybody would be doing it, right?
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly. Well, at least we got Kate Upton to keep us company, so that's good.
That.
Very good. Right, that well.
All right, guys. You guys have a good time. Chip, drive safe, man. We'll see you guys down there.
All right, man. Bye.
Later.
Hey, Chuck, thanks for stopping in. Best safe ride across there, and take care. Chip, one thing we had talked about earlier on is that since we've got Bill on the phone, I happen to know that he's got a special series that is just getting spooled up for the folks over at yakangler.com on the website. And, Bill, you want to take a minute and talk about that a little bit, about what you've got going on?
Sure.
With I think it's a little different than anything we've seen come out in quite a while, and I think it's going to be a great series. So go ahead.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be different. It's called Will It Fish, and it is the viewers of Yak Angler will be able to submit their lure choice, whether it be a freshwater, a saltwater lure, a bottle cap lure, a bottle cap opener lure, a novelty lure, you name it. Whatever it is, they submit the idea to yakangler.com. Mark or Adam will pick one per month, and that's what I get to fish with. And we're gonna film it. And it'll be a nice little video segment up on the website. We've already done the first one, which was a pretty good success, if I have to say so myself. The next one, the next lure has already been picked. We'll just wait for some good weather to get out there, and it's pretty off the wall. It's going to be a lot of fun trying to find a fish that'll hit this thing.
Nice. How'd the idea for this come up?
Well, I don't want to give too much away, but they the guys there at Yak Angler had sent me a bag of lures, a couple bags of lures, along with a letter that said, you know, hey, thanks for the hard work in 2012. You know, we really appreciate it and all that. And I looked at these things, I'm like, what the heck am I going to do with these? So we were talking about it at the boondoggle, and I was kind of busting their chops about it. One thing led to the other, and Will It Fish was born. The name, the credit for that, for the name Will It Fish, goes out to Chip's wife, Sam. She just looked at me and said, well, just call it Will It Fish. And that was it. That's all it took. So I hoped, I'm really anxious to see how many submittals there were and what kind of crazy stuff I'm going to get to fish with here in the next few months.
I got a lure for you, but I don't think we could publish the picture of it on a family-oriented thing. So, but it sounds like a lot of fun. And we don't want to give anything away, but I mean, you've already done the first test with, and I saw those baits that they sent you. Those were some crazy-looking things. I don't even know what kind of hooks you use to put
well,
on this thing. But anyways.
The idea behind it is that I'm going to try to use the bait as it comes in the package. If I have to modify it a little bit, I'm going to figure out a way to catch a fish with it. Here in Tampa Bay, I'm going to fish for what's in my backyard, okay? So, I'm going to try to use it straight out of the bag. Sometimes maybe that's not going to work, but I'll figure out a way to catch something with whatever they send me.
So you're gonna try it straight out of the bag, and then like the Mythbusters, if you can't seem to make it work, then you're gonna blow it up, right?
I'm gonna blow it up.
Yeah, that's right. We've already got the explosives laid in. We've got some binary stuff that we can sit back and shoot at a distance, and I think we're all set. But you know, Bill has a knack for finding fish and putting stuff in front of him. I know that. Chip, when you were here the weekend after the boondoggle, or a couple days after the boondoggle, you and your family came over to Florida's West Coast, and we had the opportunity to show you a little bit of the hospitality over here. Things went fairly well, although we're fishing with more conventional bait, but I think you guys still had a good time.
Yes, post-boondoggle fishing was a lot of fun, and you guys have a great backyard. I've been totally jealous. I mean, the park we stayed at there at Simmons, that's awesome. It was clean. It was well taken care of. The launch sites were awesome. And then just getting out with you guys, seeing what you guys do on your weekends and stuff, that was a lot of fun. And, of course, now I have, my wife has all these pictures posted of herself standing there with the big fish and all this kind of stuff. So, But that was great. She was tickled to death that she did. Now she's started this thing, now that the post-boondoggle thing is, she's gotten it in her blood. She caught a nice 28-inch red that she caught, and on a St. Croix 6-foot medium light travel rod, 4-piece travel rod. So she's bound and determined now that, I tried giving her another rod. The next day I gave her a Shimano Terramar 7'2", and she said, "I don't like this. I want my travel rod back." So she's bound and determined that she just likes the way it feels, and she says she can cast better with it. So she's ready to head to Cedar Key to go after some big uglies with a travel rod.
Yeah. You might. I think you want to bring a spare. Either that, or we'll bring some bracing to something to lash to it. Maybe a fiberglass bicycle pole or something, because that.
You're one of those buggy whip guys, so you can catch a big old triple digit fish on a stick, man. So.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I have to tell you, I mean, when I was fishing, maybe 50 yards away from where you were, maybe a little more, and I heard a little bit of the hooting and hollering, and I looked down. And when I saw that the angle between the line and the water looked like it was headed out towards the horizon instead of relatively down in front of her, I realized that that fish had quite a bit of drag, or had taken quite a bit of drag, and there was quite a bit of line out there. But she did a great job. I mean, the nice thing about that, and the nice thing about lighter tackle fishing, especially this time of year, no matter where you are, is the cooler water, you don't stand as good a chance of really overstressing the fish. And and wiping them out by fighting them and playing them too long. But she did a really great job with it. Bradley did really well too. When the clone was out there, one of the nice things about fishing with other people's kids, when you're fishing near them, is they tend to think you might know what you're doing, as opposed to fishing with your own kids, which you've been an idiot since they were born, and you're just getting more stupid every day. So Brad pulled up in the spot pointed out, and it was only a few casts before he had a real nice redfish on, and then hooked up on another decent one later on in the morning, did really well. So he did a great job out there also. Everybody had a good time.
Oh, it was a great time, wading around out there. The water was a little cold, but everybody put up with it because we were catching fish and we were chasing fish all the way down. I don't know how far we managed to work our way down that path, but my sister and her husband, they're newbies, so they they had to pay their dues a little bit. So I guess they may have paid their water dues now. So next time we take them out kayak fishing, they'll probably have a little better luck. But
they had a good morning paddling.
Yes, they did. They had a great morning paddling. Sister, I mean, I give her a lot of credit because she doesn't feel very comfortable on the water. That was kind of her first time really being out in a kayak, other than a quick trip at the boom before the wind picked up out there. So she did great. My brother-in-law had a great time. They were having a good time. So we didn't catch any fish, but we had a great time. And actually, Sam, she kind of, for the crew, for our side of the crew, she did the best. The next day, she ended up catching she caught a tail cat and another, actually, got a nice trout, too. So, but she's all fired up about starting a list for a travel rod.
Well, that's, I don't know, Chris, for those of you who've seen yakangle.com, Chris Funk just posted a piece up on his big year, where he started out trying to catch 40 species of fish in his 40th year. And Bill and I had the good fortune to fish with him for one of those days where he put an extra few on the list. Maybe that'll be Sam's goal to put X number of different species on the travel rod and then write it up for yakking out there.
She'll be good. She'll probably be asking me for, I don't know, that's just a little Triumph rod. So that's actually a freshwater rod. So the medium light, that's like a 6 to 12 pound test rod. So she did a real nice job. She's got that little Stratic on it. It's a Stratic 3000. We had it pulled up there. And we got away from her at first. I was thinking that, you know, I leave my drag a little loose and then on how spunky the fish is, you know, tighten it up accordingly. But she hung on. It had about half a spool out on her by the time I got over to her, and it just tightened it up a little bit, started working the fish back in, did a nice job. That's her biggest fish ever that she's ever caught, so she was real happy. A lot of high five there between her and Bill, taking pictures and stuff. I think she's got it posted on her wall now.
That's a great picture to have up there. So, and we know somebody who takes good pictures, so it's nice to have that
absolutely.
Good position as well.
What?
What? What was that?
You know a guy?
This isn't recorded, and you know, nothing I say can be used against me, so it's no big deal.
You know that guy with that thing at that place?
Yeah, with
that's
the people
right.
And the stuff. That's right. That's right.
We'll have to have another night where we go back and enjoy the Elvis at the bar there.
Yeah.
I was kind of disappointed. I can say it now. I was kind of disappointed that he didn't come out and join in the happy birthday.
That's right.
You
know.
Kind of thing. Yeah,
yeah,
you know that,
he missed it.
Going on. Yeah, it was. But it's all good, because I would have been all shook up by that. So I don't think that would have been good. Come on, work with me.
Anyway,
don't forget your waitress.
That's right. Well, I'm going to have to, the clone is looking, he's telling me he's starving, so we're going to have to pull over here and grab some chow and work our way on down. But we're just about the Valdosta now, so I think we've made up some good time. Traffic hasn't been too bad, but Greg, I appreciate you running the boards for me and keeping track of the folks there in the chat room there. And Bill, it's always a pleasure, man, to talk to you. And,
yeah, when you pass the Apollo Beach exit, honk your horn.
Yeah, well, I was telling Mr. Becker there that maybe Sunday morning we might, so we're going to have to get up early. And I think we're about 2.5 hours south of you guys down there in Everglades City.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Right about that, with traffic, maybe a couple minutes more than that.
So if we get up and start headed north, we might be in your area around brunch or something like that. Maybe we'll pull over for at least a cup of coffee, a glass of tea or something.
Sounds good, man. Look forward to it.
Yeah.
All right.
So, Bill, thanks for jumping in tonight. Appreciate it. Appreciate all the info for the folks out there to give a little preview on what folks down at the in the Everglades will be at the Adventure Fishing World Championship, sponsored by Native Watercraft. Good luck and safe travels to everybody who's headed down there. Chris in the chat room says, safe travels, Chip. See you tomorrow. And Tommy Head Jake says you're in onion country now, so you know, just watch out for the muck fields. Thanks to everybody
That's
in
right.
the chat room. Yep. Thanks to everybody in the chat room. Cap D Fish, D.D. Olson, Hammerhead 74 from up in the North Country. Scuba Stan, our resident birthday boy, Tommy Head Jigs, and of course Chris. Coming up next week on Kayak Fishing Radio, Monday night kickoff with Redfish Chuck, who was in here a little bit before this morning, and this evening rather, and I'm sure he'll have some stuff to talk about from this weekend's going on. Tuesday night, the Double L Show with Mark and Chris Lozier. Wednesday night is a debut of a new program. The air was vacant last week after the last edition of the Mid-Atlantic Show with Mark the Landing Crew Wheeler. This Wednesday will be the debut of the new low-sodium show. A lot of folks have asked for some more information on freshwater kayak fishing, and Mark's done an awful lot of that. So if you're into freshwater, you have something to add, if you've been freshwater kayak fishing all your life and want to bring your expertise and share it with the other folks who listen in on Kayak Fishing Radio, tune in Wednesday night at 8 o'clock for the debut of the new low-sodium show. Again, thanks everybody for dialing in. Chip, thanks again for the opportunity to drive the rig here and sit behind the board. Tight lines, everybody. As Chip always says, take a kid fishing. Take care.